Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Hello, Packers fans. Happy Saturday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can also follow the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Great to have you here today. We're going to be breaking down a Packers to-do list for the remainder of 2024. Now, they have four games left on the schedule. They are not yet in the playoffs. They have not clinched a playoff berth. They're about 97% likelihood to do so. So they should get that done at some point in time. That's going to be one of the things they need to accomplish. Spoiler alert, we'll talk about that in just a moment. But assuming that they do get in the playoffs, which should be mostly a foregone conclusion at this point, there's still a lot of things that they need to do to be playing their best football and just multiple things on their to-do list for the remainder of the season in 2024. So we'll get to all of that in just a moment. Before we get there, shout out to brand new Pack-A-Day podcast member, Chopstick Senator. Great name, by the way. Thank you so much for signing up. If you haven't checked those memberships out yet, make sure to do so. Great episode this week with Aaron Nagler breaking down Packers Seahawks, some extra Ross Uglum content out there, extra Q&As. Now is a great time to sign up, so make sure to check those out. Also, so thrilled to be working with the Milwaukee Admirals coming up Green and Glory Night, December 21st, 2024, just in little over a week, right? Special guests will include George Kuntz, Ed West, and Robert Brooks, former Packers, meet and greet available. You can ask them questions. I'll also be hosting a live Packers Q&A prior to the game. You can get in for under $20. I'll have a link in the show description below. It is going to be a massively fun night, talking all things Packers, checking out an unbelievable hockey game. And then rumor has it, I might be a human hockey puck for that game as well. So like I said, should be a very, very fun night. Hope to see you guys there. And yes, I know what you're thinking. You know, Andy, will you sign? I'll sign any autographs. You know, I'm just kidding. It'll be a fun night though. Make sure to check it out. All right. Odell Beckham was released on Friday. That was kind of an interesting piece of news. And the answer is no. The answer is no. That's all I need to say about that. There's no room for him on the roster. He's not a appreciatively better wide receiver than pretty much anything that they have. His best days are behind him. Doesn't make sense. Not a fit. Maybe he can be that last piece for the New York Jets. There's just that final piece that can get them maybe one or two wins before the end of the season. But no interest in Green Bay for Odell Beckham at this point in time. I'm recording this at about noon on Friday, full transparency. So I have not seen a full injury report yet, but we did just get news that the two players that did not practice were Javon Bullard and Jaire Alexander. I'm not going to break it down much further than that because we have not heard if this was a setback, if this was a planned day off, if this was a personal absence. As of right now, as recording this, I don't know the rest. So I will get to that on Sunday's episode as we get to our pregame show, break down the injury report, all the inactives and everything like that. So you will probably know more than I do as you're listening to this about what is going on with Jaire Alexander. But obviously that is a key piece of information as to whether or not he's going to be able to play in this game against Seattle. And it would be a huge bummer if he cannot play. And with that, let's get to our main topic for today, which is the Packers to-do list for the remainder of the season. There's four games left. They're about a 97% chance to make the playoffs, as mentioned. So what do they need to accomplish as these final four games wind down? And what do they have to accomplish over the next month or so that will set them up for future success? So let's start with the obvious. Number one, very clear, shouldn't have any debate here. They actually have to clinch a wild card spot. That job is not yet done. Now, 97% chance, as I mentioned, they are overwhelmingly likely to get in at some point in time and clinch that playoff berth. But crazy things can happen. And what you don't want is all of a sudden some sort of downward spiral, lose to Seattle, get upset by the Saints, then lose to Minnesota. And all of a sudden going into your final week, you have to beat the Bears and you need help. Or you, even if you just have to beat the Bears, right? Like you don't want to go in like a three game losing streak, which would actually be a four game losing streak because you just lost to the Lions. And then like have to beat the Bears to get in at the end. Like you just don't want anything crazy like that. You don't want to set yourself up where you need any other results to get in the playoffs. Just take care of business. And that starts with Seattle this week. So job number one, no question about it. Get in the dance, get in the playoffs, clinch that playoff berth. Then you can sort of start talking a little bit more about, all right, what are some of the other things that you would like to do? But it is noteworthy that, again, Green Bay is very likely to get in, and there are some things that you still need to be doing between now and playoff time to get you ready to hopefully make that stretch run in January. So let's get into those. Number two on my list, after job number one on that to-do list of clinching a wild card spot, number two, fight for the highest seed possible. I don't buy into this of like, you know what, the difference between the five and the six isn't all that great. Or I know Justice was a, you know, like, hey, if they're the seventh and they have to go against Philly, I'm not really worried about it. I'm not necessarily overly concerned about having to go to Philly. That's a tough game. I don't think that's an easy one, but you probably have to beat Philly on the way to the Super Bowl anyway. So it doesn't really concern me all that much. And maybe you go to Philly and then, who knows, right? You're like, you don't know what the exact, you know, flow of the playoff path is going to be. But I would love to not have to face Philly in the opening round. I would love to have maybe potentially like Atlanta or Tampa Bay in that first round as the five seed. That sounds better than what could potentially be a Rams team that's peaking at the right time, or even a Seahawks team in Seattle where weird things always happen in Seattle. Like, I would love to avoid those as the number six seed. I would have loved, like, and we don't even know, by the way, like, that it's Philly. If you were the seven seed, it's not impossible that Detroit could have a couple setbacks against Minnesota and Buffalo, and all of a sudden maybe even just Buffalo, and maybe somehow Philly gets the one seed and Detroit gets the two, and all of a sudden you're the seventh seed and you're going to Detroit in the wild card week. Like, that's not out of the realm of possibility either. So there are a lot of different things that could happen here where I think it is extremely advantageous to go for that number five spot. And, you know, listen, there's no perfect scenario. We don't know what's going to happen. Maybe the four seed ends up being the Rams somehow. Like, I don't know how all of these different paths could take shape. And maybe you do have a really tough game as the five seed, but to me, it's worth fighting for. And the other thing I will lay out here, the NFC is so strong and also kind of so random that it's not completely unthinkable that if all of a sudden you get into a scenario where Green Bay is the five, Minnesota is the six, and Washington is the seven, that number one, maybe Washington or Minnesota knock off a Detroit or a Philly, and you don't have to do the heavy lifting then. Or even a step further, it's not completely unfathomable, especially for a team like Minnesota and Green Bay, that Minnesota and Green Bay navigate their way through the wild card in divisional rounds. They both win two games in a row, and it's Minnesota and Green Bay in an NFC championship game. And then if Green Bay is the five and Minnesota's the six, that Minnesota would go to Green Bay in that scenario. And Green Bay has the home game rather than you having to go to Minnesota. So I'm just saying, like, I would do everything that I can to get the best seed possible and to continue to win these games so that you are playing your best football, you have something to fight for, and you're not just sort of going on cruise control over these final four games. So I am dangling that carrot. I'm saying, let's go for the five seed. We can't get the four, the three, the two, the one. Those are out of question at this point, but we can sure as heck fight for the five. And you know what? It seems like a whole heck of a lot better than the seven at this point. So that's what I'm fighting for. As high of a seed that you can get, go for it, go out and earn it, and take care of business that way. Number three. Now we're going to get into more of like what they need to do on the field to start prepping and getting to where they need to go if they want to be a big time contender in January. You guys know this one. You probably know it before it's going to come out of my mouth. The number one thing that Green Bay needs to work on between now and the playoffs is the pass rush. Same thing we've been talking about forever. And like we talked about with Mike Wall the other day, there's not a real sign that this is like going to just be fixed. Like, it's just going to turn around overnight. I don't know how they get there. I am still of the opinion that if everyone along that defensive front starts playing, I'm not even saying they're like A-plus best brand of football, but a brand of football that we have seen them play. For example, Rashawn Gary, prior to the ACL, and even coming back from the ACL right immediately, like, we're talking about a guy who was a menace as a defensive end. If we get a version of that Rashawn Gary, that fixes so much of this in and of itself. Kenny Clark, I'm not even saying he needs to be prime like 2018, 2019 Kenny Clark, right? But if you get really good Kenny Clark, which we've seen actually some signs of these past 2 weeks, somebody that can press the pocket, somebody that can reset the line of scrimmage, somebody that can bull rush players back into the quarterback so that they don't have somewhere to step into, that is a game changer. These are two things that we have seen from these two players pretty consistently over the course of their careers. I'm not asking to move mountains here. I'm just saying, get back to the level that you played at, you know, a couple years ago. Like, that's all I'm asking for here. When it comes to even Devontae Wyatt, we have seen those flashes, even like 3-4 game flashes from Devontae Wyatt that look pretty good. Can we get that? We've seen Carl Brooks show that he can win quick and get to the quarterback and be a disruptive player. Can we just get back to that? We've seen TJ Slayton put a couple games together here and there where he is a big time menace, pressing the pocket, getting in the backfield, making big time run stops. And he's been playing pretty good football as of late too. Can we see a little bit more of that? And then LVN, I think, is actually playing some pretty positive football as of late. I'm not even asking for this unbelievable year two jump here at the end of year two. I'm just saying, can he keep playing good football that with a pressure here, there, and some good run defense? Let's get that. Like, I'm not asking for all of a sudden LVN turning into a Pro Bowler or Rashawn Gary going all pro version, right? Or Kenny Clark back to the peak of his powers. I'm not asking for any of that. But if everyone plays at sort of right or near the best level that we have seen them play over the course of the last couple of seasons, man, do you have an entirely different defensive line. That to me is what I'm still holding my hat on to some extent, is we have seen good play from a lot of the players on the defensive front. Now, can they just put it together at the right time? That includes Enagbare, Brenton Cox, Aaron Mosby, Colby Wooden. I don't care who is out there. You've got to find a way to win your one-on-ones, to get the pressure that you need, and to make it so that you can get home with four and it's not just bells and whistles. It's not just smoke and mirrors. It's not, you know, having to blitz or fake blitz. At some point on a 3rd and 10, right, game on the line, you've got to trust that your four guys up front can get pressure. And that hasn't been the case all season long. And it needs to become something that you can rely upon more consistently as you get ready for the playoffs. I think to me, it is the number one question mark. It's the number one concern. It's the number one thing that they have to find a solution for. And that solution can't just be, we're going to blitz a lot, because there are weaknesses with that that come with it. And like we saw against Detroit, Detroit's just going to screen you to death if you continue to do that. And other teams will follow suit. So it's imperative that you find ways to get home with four. I don't care if it's through twists and stunts. I don't care if you have to stand people up as your outside edge rushers in certain situations. I don't care what it is. Figure it out. Find a way to make it work. Put the pressure on Jason Rebrovich and company to get those guys playing to the level that we know they can play at. But that is job number, after making the playoffs and trying to get the best seed as possible, if you really want to be successful come the postseason, this is the biggest thing that you need to do over the course of the next month. And by the way, sometimes it's not quite like turnovers, but sometimes this stuff can click and click into place and kind of come in bunches as well, where you're maybe struggling to get some pressures. And then all of a sudden you start having a game where you get, you know, 4 or 5 sacks, and then it can sometimes get a little bit contagious. So it's not completely out of the realm of possibility here, but that is something they're going to have to find a way to do a better job of. Number four, figure out the right rotations and the right pieces on defense. It felt like there were, you know, kind of going back to 2023, there were times early on offense where Matt LaFleur was still trying to figure out, when do we use Wicks? When do we use Reed? When do we use Dobbs and Watson? And quite frankly, I think there's still some of that going on in 2024 right now. But towards the end of 2023, they figured out all the right pieces in all the right places. It all fit together and they kind of hit their stride at the right time. Jeff Hafley, I feel like, is kind of going through something similar, where they're going through all these different rotations and pieces and trying to kind of figure out what works, but they haven't exactly settled on something that is quite right yet. We know how I feel about Eric Stokes rotating in. I think that experiment needs to stop, but Matt LaFleur just said the other day it's not stopping, so here we are. To me, here's what it needs to look like. Your rotations up front, those are going to, you know, happen, right? Like Rashawn Gary, Enagbare, Brenton Cox, Aaron Mosby, LVN, those guys are going to rotate at edge. Devontae Wyatt, Carl Brooks, Kenny Clark, Colby Wooden, and TJ Slayton, those guys are going to rotate in at defensive tackle. I don't see that changing. I don't think it needs to change. Come playoff time, you probably want a little bit more of Rashawn Gary in there, a little bit more of Kenny Clark. And by the way, I will say, I think I'm ready for LVN to kind of take a step up over Enagbare at this point. I don't think Enagbare has been playing good football as of late. I don't think he is ready to be that quote unquote starting player. I want a little bit less Enagbare right now. So I would kind of make that switch. But for the most part, defensive front's going to remain the same. Base defense at linebacker should be Quay, Cooper, and Isaiah McDuffie. Those three should be on the field. If in base, or if you don't want to put too much on Edgerrin Cooper's plate and you want to go Quay, McDuffie, and Eric Wilson, fine, so be it. It's not the end of the world. I'm okay with it, but I want more Edgerrin Cooper if possible. But if you feel like that's too much to put on his plate and you need to put that on Eric Wilson in that situation, fine, no harm, no foul. And Isaiah McDuffie, should that his primary role should be in base defense. Your outside corners in base, assuming everyone is healthy, Keyshawn Nixon and Jaire Alexander. And then your safeties should be Xavier McKinney and Evan Williams. If you want to do in certain situations, depending on the matchups, if you feel good about Bullard instead of Williams, I don't hate it, especially if you're thinking you're going to have to play a lot of too high and have that safety, you know, kind of sprint down into the box to stop the run. Then I could see a little bit more of Javon Bullard, but for the most part, want to see Evan Williams there. In nickel, again, rotations up front on the defensive line, that is fine. Nickel needs to be Quay and Cooper. No two ways around it. It has to be those two. I want to see Bullard in the slot, Nixon and Jaire on the outside with Williams and McKinney at safety. That there should not be, there doesn't need to be any other rotations at corner. There doesn't really need, like, if you want to move Keyshawn inside, right, and you don't feel like Bullard has the right matchup, then it needs to be Carrington Valentine on the outside. No two ways about it. Hey friends, we are smack dab in the middle of holiday season, and there's only one thing better than the spirit of giving, and that's the spirit of winning. And right now you can make your holidays bigger and brighter with Prize Picks, the absolute best place to get real money action while watching your favorite sports. This holiday season, Prize Picks is giving away two free picks in December, and they're giving away $30+ million in rewards during Picksmas. Sign up today and get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive that $50 bonus. It is guaranteed. Now, do you think James Cook is going to have more than 60 yards next week? Joe Burrow, more than 1.5 touchdowns? Whatever you think, Prize Picks is the best way to win real money this football season, and you can turn your sports opinions into real money in fewer than 60 seconds. This week, I'm going with a huge bounce back week for Jaden Reed after catching zero passes last week. Don't see that happening again. I'm also going with Brandon McManus to make multiple field goals on the road in Seattle. I'm also going to be keeping an eye on Josh Allen versus the Lions as well. Whoever you want to pick, make sure you download the app today and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. That's the Prize Picks app using code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly after your first $5 lineup. What are you waiting for? Prize Picks. Run your game. Hey everyone, with the holidays creeping up faster than your great aunt's fruitcake recipe, I've got something way better to share with you. If you want to look sharp for all those festive gatherings and maybe finally win that best groomed at the family dinner award, check out the latest masterpiece from Manscaped, the Chairman Pro Electric Foil Shaver. Trust me, it's like Rudolph for your face, guiding you to a smooth, irritation-free shave. Head over to manscaped.com and join the over 11 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped by using code PACKADAY for 20% off plus free shipping. Now, you may have recently seen Mustache Andy lately. It was a beautiful sight to behold, and that wouldn't have been possible without the Chairman Pro's Flex Adjust technology, which is basically like the holiday miracle of shaving. And when I needed even more precision to get that mustache look just right, there was the Precision Lock. And when you lock it in, the blade head sits firm so you can achieve a more precise shave, and that's exactly what I did. So get the Chairman Pro today and experience a shave that is as smooth as you deserve. Get 20% off plus free shipping with code PACKADAY at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code PACKADAY at manscaped.com. What are you waiting for? Then from there, you get to dime defense. Quay needs to probably be your linebacker in that situation. I don't think Edgerrin's quite there to be able to call the plays and do everything like that. So probably Edgerrin at linebacker. And then you probably get to Keyshawn and Bullard, right, in the slot. And then I would like to see, again, Carrington Valentine and Jaire Alexander at the outside corner spots. And then, again, Evan Williams and Xavier McKinney at safety with whatever rotation up front. Those should be your rotations. I think they still have to kind of get that figured out and straightened away. There's too much Eric Stokes. There's too much Isaiah McDuffie on passing downs. And I still think LVN over Enagbare is probably the way to go right now, at least for more snaps at this point in time. So those are the ones to me that they've got to get figured out. But whatever it is, whoever it is, I don't really care as long as they figure out the right players in the right positions at the right time. It's something that I still don't think they've found the exact right formula for, and it needs to get figured out over the kind of final course of these 4 weeks and through the end of this season. Number five. This one, I don't really know how you do, but there is, I guess, in some way you can kind of think about maybe preventing some of this, and that's getting healthy and staying healthy. Now, getting healthy and staying healthy is not something that you can go out in a game and be like, all right, guys, go out and try to win, but prioritize staying healthy. It doesn't work that way, right? But there does come a point once, again, job number one is done, once you've clinched a playoff berth, where if you do have a player that's maybe not quite there, then you rest them and make sure that they're ready for the playoff. And there's not a perfect science here because, like, if a Jaire, for example, and again, not knowing right now what Jaire's situation and why he wasn't practicing on Friday, you know, you also want to at some point kind of work some of the rust off if possible. And, you know, so some of these guys need to get out there and get a little bit of playing time. But if there's any sort of question mark, like go back to the Bears game with Jair, right? They pushed him a little bit too quick. He re-aggravated it. Over these last 4 weeks, you should not be pushing anybody at this point. Make sure that they're good to go for the beginning of January and wildcard week. That should be the priority for those players. You can win with the players that you have in the meantime, and just make sure that those guys are all ready to go so that wildcard week, you have hopefully almost your entire 53-man roster at your disposal if possible. So you can't prevent injuries at all times. I get that. I'm not saying that. Just be smart with the injuries that you have. And if you need to rest some guys here and there to make sure that they're ready for January, once you have clinched that playoff berth, then so be it. Number six, what's your identity on offense? Or maybe just, again, we want to frame this in kind of a similar situation to the defense of finding your right rotations and finding out what it is that you do that really puts teams off balance. There are times where this looks like a run first team. There's times where it looks like a pass first team. There are times where it looks like a Jaden Reed team. There's times where it looks like a Watson team or a Kraft team or a Jacobs team. It's tough to tell to some extent. And I get the answer to that is like, well, they're being a mismatch team and they're going to base it upon what the opponent is doing and what they're trying to take away, which is great. I don't have any real issue with that. I do think they have to be a bit more intentional of how they go about winning games. And is that, are we going to be a run first Josh Jacobs oriented offense? Is this going to be more of a, hey, we're going to spread you out and throw the ball around the yard offense? Ideally, of course, they want to be multiple. They want to be balanced. They want to have Jacobs run and be able to set up the pass. But I think they have to figure out what's their cup of tea. What is their identity? What is it that they are going to inflict upon opposing teams? It's great that you want to take advantage of the opposing team's weaknesses and not play into their strengths. And if they have a loaded box, you want to pass. If they have a passive box, you want to run. I get all those things. Those are all good things in principle. But it still feels like they haven't quite found out the right formula on offense of how to involve the right players at the right time and get that offense just completely set the way that it needs to be. Not far off. We're talking about a top offense. They score a ton of points. They are really, really good. We are definitely nitpicking to some extent here. I think where what we're really talking about here is I think we would all agree there is a level to this offense that they can get to that they haven't reached yet. And I just want to see them reach that level. Because if they do, look out. I think it is an incredibly scary offense to go against if this team hits its stride at the right time. I don't think there's a perfect answer for them. I don't think you can stop the run and stop all these weapons and get after Jordan Love. And like, there's just not a solution for it. You know, you talk sometimes about how it's really difficult to match up with some of these really good teams across. Green Bay is in that conversation, that there's no perfect defense for it. And they should be at that level where it's like, I don't know how you go about stopping the Packers offense. And more often than not, who's the one that stops the Packers offense? The Packers, right? So find that rhythm, find that consistency, find that right formula, and find your identity to really figure out how you can reach the peak of your powers offensively. Going along with that, number seven, get that run game back on track. And more specifically, get the run blocking back on track. Josh Jacobs is playing great. Emmanuel Wilson, Chris Brooks are playing really well. I really like what the running backs are doing. The wide receivers are blocking well on the outside. I know you're seeing a little bit more of some stack boxes, but you've got to figure out a way. Go back to Malik Willis, you know, starting at quarterback and the opposing teams knowing that you're going to run the ball. And what did you do? You ran the ball. You got to find a way to block things up better up front, be more consistent, and get Josh Jacobs some of those rushing lanes. Because when he gets them, whew, is it fun to watch in the open field? He's doing spin moves and stiff arms and jukes and cuts, and he's making everyone miss. You can't tackle him right now. Instead of having him use all his superpowers to turn a -3-yard run into a 2-yard run, which is still great that he's being able to do so, it'd be really nice if he was using those same superpowers to turn a 5-yard run into a 25-yard run. That's what I want to see. When this run blocking is really looking great and they're opening those holes, man, this run offense can run for days. But when they're struggling and there's guys immediately in the backfield, like I said, Josh Jacobs is doing having to do a lot of heavy lifting for just a few yards on offense. So that's something the run game in total needs to improve upon. But Josh Jacobs looking great. Just get him a little bit more space, a little bit more room to operate, and he'll take care of the rest from there. Number eight, experiment a little bit. If you do clinch that playoff berth and there's a couple weeks left, I'd love to see a little bit of Tyron Hopper at linebacker in base defense. Let's just see. Who knows? Maybe he looks really great, and maybe that's a piece of the puzzle. quite frankly, I would love to see Ketanji Adapo in some nickel defense as a nickel linebacker. But let's see what a safety does in that sort of role. And if he can give you a little bit better coverage in where is the trouble area, the middle of the field. Do I think either of those things are going to be the answer to any of the main problems that they have right now? I don't. Would I like to see it? Yeah. Let's see if it works. Let's see if it fails spectacularly. I don't care at that point. Experiment with some stuff. Maybe see if Javon Bullard can play a little bit more of that nickel linebacker role with Xavier, you know, with Xavier McKinney, Evan Williams at safety, and maybe Nixon and Jair and Valentine on the outside. I'm not even really caring what you're experimenting with at this point. Maybe it's if Jordan Morgan gets back healthy, maybe you're experimenting with him a little bit on the offensive line. There's another one we're going to talk about in just a moment, but I don't really care what it is. Maybe you try a different punt returner. Jayden Reed's been fine, but maybe you remember you were going with Amari Rodgers as your punt returner with Keyshawn Nixon blocking for him for a while. And then all of a sudden you realize, oh yeah, Nixon can be a really great returner and Amari Rodgers shouldn't be on the team. You figured that out. And all of a sudden your return game takes over from there. Maybe there's another player who should be returning. Maybe it's a Bo Mel. I don't know. I'm not saying that there's anything that's going to be perfect or fix anything, but sometimes you don't know until you try. And I think really the one is Tyron Hopper here. And just see what they can do. Just see if there's something that they can maybe add to this defense or to this team that you didn't know that you had and take advantage of it. And if it doesn't work, no harm, no foul. You weren't probably playing for much anyway in those games and it probably didn't cost you anything significant. It doesn't have to be this long playing time. Just get Tyron Hopper, you know, 5-10 snaps in base defense just to see what it looks like. Get him a little bit of playing time. Maybe it feels right. Maybe it doesn't. But if you don't experiment, how are you going to ever know? And I think sometimes those things are important just to check out if for nothing else. Number nine, show you can win on the road. Two big challenges coming up. Seattle this week, Minnesota in a couple weeks. Two playoff caliber teams in very tough environments with a lot to play for in their environment. Show you can do it. You're going to have to do it three times in the playoffs. Three consecutive times, win, 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 if you want to get to the Super Bowl. I want to see it against Seattle or Minnesota. You didn't win against Philly in a neutral site. You didn't win against Detroit on the road. You know, you've already lost to Minnesota at home, Detroit at home. You don't have that signature road win. You've got two opportunities coming up against Seattle and Minnesota. Show you can do it. Because I think there's going to, if Green Bay loses to Seattle and Minnesota and beats New Orleans and Chicago, gets in as the sixth seed or whatever, and has like against the good teams that they played, especially on the road, just can't pick up wins. I don't know how much confidence you're going to have going into those road games on the playoffs. But if they can win against Seattle, Minnesota, they're going to show, hey, yep, we can do this. They're going to have knowledge that they can go into tough stadiums against tough teams and get wins. I think that would be huge for this team. Number 10, this is an off-the-field thing. This doesn't help them right now, but just as a to-do list in the next month or so, I wouldn't hate if they started talking to Brandon McManus and his agent about potentially getting him a extension here. Maybe it's just a one-year extension. That's fine. It's been pretty darn good. And that's been a position that's been very hard to fill post Mason Crosby. I wouldn't hate. There's not a lot of other contracts to really work on at this point in time. There's really none. So you know what? Maybe call up Brandon McManus's agent and see if maybe you can get something figured out for 2025 to just fill in that spot and not have to have that be a worry going into the postseason. Number 11, if possible, if he's good enough to go, reintegrate Luke Musgrave into the offense. I think he can be a player that adds a different element and dimension to this team. More two tight end sets, a little bit of opportunity to get Tucker Kraft off the field once in a while where he's not having to play every single snap. I think there's something to that. Hopefully get him integrated in the red zone, get him up the seam in the middle of the field. I think there's more things that he can bring to this offense that we haven't had the opportunity to see. And really in 2 years, we've almost had no Musgrave and Kraft on the field together in a two tight end set. Can you get that to a point where that two tight end set is something that teams really have to worry about going into the postseason? So if possible, if he can get back healthy in time, reintegrate him into the offense and find ways to utilize his skill set. And then last but not least, number 12, be ready to play your best ball come wildcard weekend. Got to be hitting your stride, got to be going into the playoffs strong, and got to hope that you play your best football and you get a couple bounces that go your way. And all of a sudden you've got a magical end of the year. It's not going to be easy. As we talked about today, plenty of things on the to-do list. Get in the wild card, get the highest seed possible, fix the pass rush, figure out the right rotations on defense, get and stay healthy, figure out your identity on offense, get the run blocking back on track, do some experimenting, show you can win on the road. Maybe talk to Brandon McManus about that contract, reintegrate Luke Musgrave into the offense, and then again, be ready to play your best football come January, come wild card weekend. I'll be back tomorrow with a pregame show. We'll go over all the injury updates, potential inactives, keys to the game, everything like that. Really excited for that. Of course, shout out to our Hall of Fame and All-Pro members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wayne, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Wong, Arnaldo Espinoza, Peter Itaka, SoCal Pack, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gesford, Step Keat, Love and Football, Dylan Pat Scott, and Bobby Santoro. If you haven't checked out the Mina Kimes episode yet, make sure to do so. That was absolutely awesome. Loved having her on. And I will be back for live shows for the pre and post game shows. So make sure to check out those as well. Appreciate you all a ton. I'll be back tomorrow. But until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.